Welcome to the debate.
Yeah, glad to be here.
So what if the most powerful monopoly in human history isn't actually being built with software, but with, you know, silicon, copper, and literally billions of dollars in vendor financing?
It is a massive physical build out, yeah.
Right. Because, you know, when a massive, sprawling new metropolis is being built from the ground up, human nature dictates that we just look up.
Yeah, we look at the skyline.
Exactly. We stare at the gleaming skyscrapers, the shiny AI models, the consumer applications that are just going up at record speed. But if you really want to understand who controls the future of that city, you don't look up.
Mm-hmm.
You look underground. You look for, well, who laid the fiber optics? Who owns the power grid, and who poured the unbreakable concrete foundation.
And right now that is obviously NVIDIA.
It is. We are seeing a digital metropolis being built right now. And our discussion today centers on the upcoming, highly anticipated NVIDIA earnings call, which is scheduled for Wednesday, August 26, 2026.
The big day.
The big day. And the central question we are exploring from our source material is this. Is NVIDIA successfully locking in an impenetrable, decade-long AI monopoly? Or do severe physical supply constraints and, you know, market pressures threaten to fracture their whole foundational strategy?
It really is, it's the defining business and technological question of our time, frankly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the analysis we're drawing from today, it focuses on the Blackwell architecture launch, this really aggressive financing strategy, and the fascinating synergy with open source models. It forces us to look at the actual structural integrity of this so-called empire. Right, we're getting past the hype.
Exactly. We are looking past the hype to examine the actual physics and the economics of what is happening on the ground.
Okay, so let's state our positions clearly up front. My position is that NVIDIA's interconnected strategy of Blackwell hardware dominance, their direct financing of infrastructure, and the acceleration of open source models creates an impenetrable decade-long ecosystem lock-in.
Okay, and my position is that this entire empire-building narrative completely ignores severe physical supply constraints, the rising tide of custom silicon competition, and the geopolitical shadows that make this rapid expansion highly precarious.
Okay, well, let's get into it. Let's lay out the architecture of our respective views here. From my perspective, NVIDIA has just fundamentally evolved.
Mm-hmm. They have moved far beyond the traditional semiconductor model of, you know, simply designing and selling chips. They are actively acquiring territory.
Yeah.
I mean, Jensen Huang has described the sales of their new Blackwell platform as extraordinary. The demand we are seeing quite literally has no historical precedent in Silicon Valley.
It is wild, I'll give you that.
It's insane. In the global AI arms race, being deployed on Blackwell is the equivalent of holding the pole position in a Formula One race.
Hold on, I hear this F1 comparison a lot, but what does that actually mean in this context? Like, are we just saying first place is good, or is there a mechanical advantage you're pointing to here?
No, there is an absolute mechanical advantage. Think about Formula One. The car in pole position dictates the pace of the entire grid behind it.
Right.
They control the race lines. They operate in clean air. So in the AI ecosystem, whoever deploys Blackwell clusters at scale first, they dictate the pace of global AI research.
I see what you mean.
Yeah. It dictates when the next generation of frontier models can be trained. We aren't just talking about tech companies slowly, you know, upgrading their server racks. Look at Elon Musk.
Oh, yeah, the XAI build out.
Right. He is publicly broadcasting a need for over 100,000 GPUs just for XAI in Tesla's frontier models.
Which is a staggering number.
It's huge. And this is pure incremental demand piling on top of an already massive backlog. Blackwell is the engine that dictates the speed of the entire industry.
Okay, I hear you, but desire doesn't equal fabrication capacity. I mean, I'm sorry, but I just don't buy that. Let me tell you why. You're looking at Elon Musk's wish list and ignoring the actual physics of the supply side.
How so?
Well, yes, everyone wants 100,000 GPUs, but let's look closely at the material we're analyzing. We have a recent CNBC report indicating that NVIDIA is actively telling customers prices are increasing by 15%.
Right, we saw that.
And simultaneously, they are trimming the memory specifications on these new Blackwell units.
And you view that as a crack in the foundation?
A massive crack. Let's break down what trimming memory specs actually means on a silicon level.
Okay, let's get into the weeds.
In hardware engineering, when you reduce specifications and raise prices at the exact same time, it is a glaring distress signal. It tells us they are hitting a hard wall with high bandwidth memory, or HBM, yields and advanced packaging constraints over at TSMC in Taiwan.
We'll walk the audience through the mechanics of that bottleneck. Why does the memory dictate the release of the entire processor?
Because of the physical constraints of advanced packaging, specifically TSMC's CoWoS technology.
Chip on wafer on substrate.
Exactly. You aren't just stamping out a GPU anymore. You have to physically stitch the GPU die incredibly close to the HBM, the memory chips.
Right.
Think of the GPU as a massive 10-lane highway where data travels at light speed. But that highway is utterly useless if the data has to exit through a 2-lane toll booth.
And the high bandwidth memory is the toll booth.
Yes, HBM is the toll booth. NVIDIA physically cannot stitch enough of these memory chips to the processors at the original specifications without a high failure rate in manufacturing.
Okay, yeah.
So they are forced to shrink the toll booth, trim the memory specs, just to push units out the door. That is a supply chain stretched to its absolute breaking point. Not a smooth Formula One race.
Look, I see the mechanics you're pointing out, but I really don't see it as a distress signal.
You don't?
No, I see it as brutal elites optimization.
How is giving people less memory for more money optimization?
Because you can't let the perfect be the enemy of the deployed. Reducing the RAM configurations on Blackwell to optimize around the available HBM supply is exactly what a market leader should do when demand outstrips global manufacturing capacity.
But they're compromising the hardware.
Think of it like a high-end restaurant, right? It's like a high-end restaurant shrinking its menu to perfectly execute during a massive rush.
Okay.
If the toll booth is the bottleneck, you redesign the flow so you can keep the cars moving. They are prioritizing deployment speed and ecosystem capture over theoretical maximum specs.
So just get it out the door.
Exactly. Getting the hardware into the customer's data center right now is the ultimate goal because it feeds directly into their financing strategy.
Okay, let's pivot to that because I understand the financing strategy on paper. We've seen the age of exploration analogy applied to this.
Right. The idea that NVIDIA financing AI clusters is similar to Spain or England or France funding ships to the New World in the 1500s.
Get there first, plant your flag. I get the historical parallel, but walk me through the modern mechanics of this.
Sure.
How exactly does fronting the cash for a data center prevent a hyperscaler from just ripping out those GPUs in 3 years when a cheaper alternative arrives?
Because you aren't just buying chips, and you aren't just planting a symbolic flag.
Okay.
When NVIDIA finances these multi-billion-dollar clusters, they are installing an entirely integrated nervous system.
Ah, you're talking about the networking.
Yes. It starts with NVLink. NVLink is NVIDIA's proprietary networking technology that allows tens of thousands of individual GPUs to talk to each other and basically act as one giant unified brain.
Right.
Once you lay down that physical copper, the optical transceivers, and the massive networking switches required for NVLink, you are structurally committed to the NVIDIA ecosystem.
It's not a quick swap?
Now, you don't just rip that infrastructure out. The capital expenditures to replace it would be astronomical. It locks the customer in for 10-plus years.
Okay, but let's talk about that capital. The customers NVIDIA is selling to, the hyperscalers like Microsoft, Google, and Amazon, they have essentially infinite capital.
They have deep pockets, yes.
Right. So if I'm Google and I have the TPU, or AWS with Trainium, or Microsoft with Maya, I am highly motivated to break this lock-in.
Sure, they want to protect their margins.
Exactly. Wall Street seems to forget that hyperscalers are fiercely developing custom silicon tailored specifically for their own internal models. If they successfully diversify their workloads, those hardware switching costs might not be the impossible barrier NVIDIA is banking on.
Well, if you are listening to this and wondering why Google or Microsoft doesn't just run everything on their own custom silicon, you have to look beyond the hardware.
Okay.
The ultimate switching cost isn't the physical silicon or the copper wires. It's CUDA.
Their software platform.
Exactly. CUDA isn't just a piece of software you install. It is a proprietary programming language, and computing platform that millions of AI developers have spent well over a decade standardizing their workflows around.
It is the industry standard, yes.
Right. Every major AI library, every debugging tool, every optimization script is written assuming it will run on CUDA. So you can build a custom chip like an AWS Trainium that theoretically matches NVIDIA's flops, you know, the raw computing speed.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have to force your engineers to rewrite millions of lines of code, re-engineer your entire data pipeline, and learn a bespoke architecture just to save a margin on the hardware, the total cost of ownership actually skyrockets.
Yeah, the developer friction is huge.
It's massive. The hyperscalers are building custom silicon for their own narrow internal workloads.
Sure.
But for general purpose AI, for the enterprise market they want to serve,
they have to offer NVIDIA.
They are forced to buy and offer NVIDIA because that is what every developer in the world demands. The lock-in is cultural and architectural, and that is what lasts for 10 plus years.
Look, I'll concede the strength of the CUDA moat. It is formidable.
It really is.
But if hyperscalers are actively trying to escape NVIDIA's hardware to protect their own margins, you are relying entirely on outside developer demand to force the hyperscalers' hands.
Yes.
That ties your entire growth model to a continuous global arms race in model development. If that slows down, the leverage disappears.
And that brings us to the most fascinating dynamic in the entire AI landscape right now.
The models themselves.
Yes. If hyperscalers are trying to escape NVIDIA, NVIDIA's ultimate defense mechanism isn't hardware. It is the open source software ecosystem.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
We are seeing models like Llama from Meta, Mistral, DeepSeek, and Qwen democratizing frontier-level AI capabilities.
It is deeply ironic when you think about it.
It is the ultimate irony. Open source AI democratizes the software. These organizations are literally giving away the algorithmic weights, the brains of the AI, for free.
Yeah.
But in doing so, it creates an absolute monopoly on the hardware required to run it.
Right, because you can't run it on a Mac.
Exactly. You can download a frontier model for free, but you cannot run it at enterprise scale on a laptop. Every time a massive new open source model drops, it acts as a global proof of concept.
Hmm.
It tells every enterprise and startup on Earth, here is state-of-the-art AI, go build with it.
And to build with it, you need massive compute.
Precisely. A breakthrough open source model triggers a global GPU buying wave. It forces the hyperscalers to drastically increase their capital expenditures just to host these models for their cloud customers.
Because their customers are demanding access to the latest Llama model.
Yes. It validates NVIDIA's financing strategy because those early colonies NVIDIA funded are now running at maximum capacity generating revenue. The open source movement is basically a free global marketing department that expands NVIDIA's footprint across the entire industry.
That is a brilliant dynamic. I mean, the demand driver there is undeniable.
It's perpetual motion right now.
But you are describing a borderless, frictionless world of open innovation. And let's look at the geopolitical shadows hanging over this exact phenomenon.
Okay, yeah, the macro environment.
The physical reality of this empire is entirely bound by geography and regulation. You're assuming that this global buying wave will be allowed to continue uninterrupted.
You're referring to export controls?
Yes, I am. NVIDIA is highly susceptible to the geopolitical climate, arguably more than any other tech giant right now.
Sure.
The U.S. government is actively restricting what level of compute can be sold to China and other nations. If this open source arms race accelerates to the point where these models are deemed national security threats, which, by the way, is actively being debated in Washington.
It is, yeah.
The regulatory hammer comes down. This whole machine requires the Taiwan supply chain to remain completely uninterrupted, and it requires Washington to permit the sale of the end product.
That's a fair assessment of the risk.
So you have an empire where the software demand is infinite and borderless, sure, but the physical supply and the legal permission to sell are bottlenecked by Taipei and Washington.
Right.
One policy shift, one geopolitical event, and it doesn't matter how many developers want to use CUDA. You physically or legally cannot service them.
I acknowledge those geopolitical risks. No company of this scale is immune to macro forces.
Right.
But we have to look at how the market is actually pricing those risks against the sheer velocity of the fundamentals.
And the market tends to ignore risk until it can't.
Well, that brings us directly to the immediate catalyst, the reason we are analyzing this right now, which is the August 26 earnings call. This is the moment where the strategic narrative we've been discussing meets the undeniable financial reality of the spreadsheet.
It is unquestionably the most anticipated AI event of the year.
Absolutely. And from a bullish perspective, the metrics the market is watching are incredibly clear. Listeners should be watching for Q3 guidance.
And what's the whisper number there?
It needs to come in roughly between $103 billion and $104 billion. That is the baseline for a bullish reaction.
Just staggering numbers.
Beyond the raw revenue, the market is looking for explicit hyperscaler capital expenditure commitments. We need to hear that Microsoft, Amazon, and Meta are continuing to expand their AI budgets.
Which Meta already kind of signaled they would.
Right. Zuckerberg has been very clear. Furthermore, we need crucial roadmap hints for what comes after Blackwell, specifically the Ultra and Rubin architectures.
Mm-hmm.
If Jensen delivers on that guidance and shows that the backlog from frontier labs like xAI and Anthropic is extending deeper into 2027, well, the geopolitical noise fades to the background.
The noise never fades. It just gets temporarily drowned out by liquidity.
Okay, fair point.
And we have to be incredibly realistic about the psychology of this specific earnings call. NVIDIA is no longer just a semiconductor company.
No, they're the whole market.
Exactly. It is a macroeconomic indicator for the entire global economy. It's a stock that moves on extreme psychology, not just baseline fundamentals. The reality is that a massive earnings beat is already priced into the current valuation.
You think the market has priced in absolute perfection?
Absolutely. When you had a $103 to $104 billion guidance expectation pinned to a single quarter, the margin for error in your supply chain is literally zero.
Yeah, it's tight.
If they come out and guide Q3 anywhere below $103 billion, you are going to see a vicious sell-the-news dip, regardless of how strong the underlying business actually is.
Because the algorithms take over.
Anything less than a flawless beat and raise is treated as a systemic failure by algorithms and traders. Furthermore, the smart money won't just be looking at the top-line revenue. They will be hyper-analyzing Jensen's travel schedule.
Looking for supply chain signals in Taiwan and Korea?
Exactly. When he visits Taiwan or meets with executives in Korea, traders are parsing every syllable on the earnings call for commentary regarding those HBM supply constraints we talked about earlier.
Right, listening for the subtle language shifts.
Yes. If he emphasizes, say, optimizing product mix too heavily, the market will instantly translate that to, we are supply capped.
And the multiple will compress.
Exactly. You can't rely on the open source multiplier if you don't have the memory chips to actually ship the hardware.
Look, I think parsing his travel schedule highlights just how central this company is to the global economy. But it doesn't detract from the core execution.
It just highlights the fragility.
But the fact that the market demands absolute perfection and NVIDIA consistently delivers it, that is a testament to the strength of the model. Which is exactly why their move to finance infrastructure and secure long-term architectural lock-in is so critical.
Right.
It smooths out that future revenue curve and guarantees a captive audience.
Provided the hyperscalers don't eventually crack the code on their own silicon.
Well, let's step back and summarize where we've landed on this massive topic today.
Good idea.
From my perspective, what we are witnessing with NVIDIA is just a masterful transition. The combination of Blackwell's sheer hardware dominance and performance, this aggressive new world land grab financing strategy, and the immense continuous tailwinds provided by the open source AI model ecosystem prove something fundamental.
Which is?
NVIDIA is no longer just a chip vendor. They have successfully transitioned into the foundational utility provider of the artificial intelligence era. They are laying the unbreakable grid upon which the next generation of global technology will be built.
Yeah.
The software and networking lock-in they are achieving right now will sustain their dominance for a decade, regardless of short-term market psychology.
And while I concede that the vision is undeniably bold and the current execution is historic, I maintain that the immediate physical realities cannot be ignored by anyone looking at this objectively.
The physics of the build-out.
Right. The glaring HBM bottlenecks, the forced product spec adjustments, and simultaneous 15% price hikes, and the looming reality of well-funded hyperscalers fiercely developing their own custom silicon, all of it tells a much more cautious story.
A story of constraint.
It tells us that the execution of this 10-year empire is fraught with profound geopolitical, physical, and supply chain risks.
The software moat may be deep, but the physical walls of the castle are under immense, unprecedented pressure from both competitors and the absolute limits of semiconductor physics.
It is a remarkable tension between infinite software demand and finite physical constraints.
It really is.
But I think we can both agree that the upcoming August 26 earnings call is the map that will reveal exactly how much of this territory NVIDIA has truly secured.
Absolutely, and it underscores the value of looking past the surface-level hype.
Yeah.
If you are tracking this industry, you have to monitor how this tension between the rise of custom silicon and the deep entrenchment of NVIDIA's software moat develops over this next critical quarter.
Right.
It's about understanding the deep infrastructural shifts occurring in tech, not just cheering for a stock ticker. We have to look closely at what the supply chain is actually signaling.
Exactly. It brings us right back to how we started. When you're trying to understand the future of this massive digital metropolis, don't get distracted by the shiny new AI models or the market hype up in the skyline.
Look at the dirt.
Today's closing bell.